Would you turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1 while you're turning there? Steve Sly has got through his made it through his surgery fine, and he's at Central Baptist Hospital. And Christina Carroll is having a procedure tomorrow to fix a hole in her heart. They're going to go through a catheter, and she's at the University of Kentucky right now. Everybody remember them. Now, I'd like to read verse 4 once again. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now that is just beyond comprehension. It's impossible to understand, but it must be believed. Every believer is said here to be a partaker, a sharer in the divine nature, the very nature of God Himself. Now, we wouldn't believe that if it didn't say that, would it? Every believer is said to be a partaker, a sharer, having in common with the divine nature. Now, when God saves somebody, they are said to be born of God, born of His Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit, our Lord said, is Spirit. It can't be anything but that. So is everyone which is born of the Spirit. John 1 and 12 and 13 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name, which were born. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God, born of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Something that was not there before, a creation of God. It's called the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. The inward man, the mind of Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. A partaker of the divine nature. That means if I am a believer, I am a partaker of the very nature of God. The divine nature. Now that's mysterious, isn't it? That's hard to get hold of, but it's what the Bible says. Every believer is a partaker of the divine nature. Now, this is not the old nature changed, improved, or even influenced, but a new divine nature that was not there before. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, the old nature is still there. It's not been eradicated. It doesn't become better. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it never rises above that flesh. And it cannot rise above that. But thank God, the new nature is stronger than the old. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. Now, once again, if I'm a believer, that means I possess the divine nature. I still have my old nature, but if I'm a believer, I possess the divine nature. Now, how can I know if I have this new nature? That's what I'm interested in. I see what the Bible says concerning this, and it's mysterious. And we wouldn't even believe this unless the Bible told us that we're actually partakers of the divine nature. Now, what I want to know is, how can I know if I personally am a partaker of the divine nature? How can I know if I've been born of God? How can I know if I have this new man created in Christ Jesus? It's one thing to say, I think I have it because I fear the consequences of not having it. And it is another thing to see from the Scriptures what it is and see that I do in fact possess this divine nature. Now, if the Lord blesses this message to our hearts, we can leave here knowing whether or not we have this divine nature. Isn't that something you want to know? I mean, you fear lest you don't, but you desire to have this divine nature. Now, would you turn to Hebrews chapter 8? Hebrews chapter 8. I've entitled this message, The Laws of the New Nature. The laws, it could be called, of the divine nature, but there are certain laws with this nature. Now look in Hebrews chapter 8, beginning in verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, talking about the covenant of works, it had fault because it couldn't save. There wasn't anything wrong with it, the problem's with us. It couldn't save us, we're too bad. That's the first covenant, salvation by works. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Now, being taken by the hand, note the imagery. Being taken by the hand has nothing to do with a new nature. Now, if there's a two-year-old, and I'm stronger than that two-year-old, I can take that two-year-old by the hand, and I can get that two-year-old to go anywhere I want it to go. You know, I've heard people say, I can't control that child. Yeah, you can. You're stronger than him. You can get him to do, you can get her to do what you want them to do. So if I have the strength, I can grab somebody by the hand and I can bring them anywhere I want. If I have a wild animal of some kind that I'm stronger than, let's say it's a small one. It's a small one without teeth. I can hold that by the paws or hands, and I can make that thing go anywhere I want it to go as long as I have its hands. But what if I let go? What's going to happen? It's going to run off. You see, the hand doesn't have anything to do with the heart. God said they continued not, so I regarded them not. Now, if the Lord takes you by the hand, he can get you to go wherever he wants you to go. But what happens if he lets go? Well, you know what happens if he lets go. Now, if God would take me by the hand all the way into heaven without giving me a new heart, you know what? I'd be miserable there. And I'd want out. Why? Because I would still have this evil nature. Taking by the hand does not work. Verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 8. For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws. I will give my laws. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. Now, God put something there that was not there before. He puts his laws in their minds and he writes them in their heart. He gives them a new disposition. He gives them a new DNA. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, when people are trying to determine whose child somebody is, what do? They give them a DNA test, don't they? And you can determine who your mommy or daddy is by that DNA test. Everyone has a DNA, and that determines what they're going to be like. That determines much of their personality, their characteristics, the DNA that we're born with. Now, when God saves somebody, he gives them a new nature. He gives them a new DNA, as it were, and you can tell by that DNA whose child you are. Now that's what this is, this new law written in the heart. It's like writing a new DNA code. You have a new spiritual nature, a nature that was not there before. Now, what is meant when he says that he will write his laws in their heart, put his laws in their heart and mind? Is that talking about the Ten Commandments? Well, turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Hold your fingers there and turn to Romans chapter 2. Verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, they never had a copy of the Bible, they'd never seen the Ten Commandments. When the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. The Ten Commandments, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, God's law, the Ten Commandments, is written in the heart of everybody that is ever born. They may not have seen a copy of the law, but everybody knows it's wrong to kill. Everybody knows it's wrong to steal. Everybody knows it's wrong to commit adultery. These are things that we know by nature. We're born with this knowledge in our heart. That law is already in the heart, and here's what we do. We either feel guilty and our conscience condemns us, or else we try to find a way to excuse ourselves. That's for what we've done. That's the way the natural man deals with the holy law of God. So when he says, I'll put my laws in their mind and I'll write them in their heart, he is not talking about the Ten Commandments. Everybody already has that. Everybody already knows the difference between right and wrong. And that's why preachers say, well, I need to teach, we need to teach people how to live. People already know how to live. Now, that's just so. People already know how to live. They know what they ought to do. They're born with that knowledge. And I don't want to teach people how to live. I want to teach people how to die. And that's the only way you can live, is if you know how to die, resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says, I'll put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, their understanding, their will, and their affection, so that controls their nature. Now, the word law or laws in the New Testament does not always refer to the written law of God. Matter of fact, quite often it doesn't. What about Romans chapter 8, where it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul said, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Romans 3:27 says, where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Works? Nay, but by the law of faith. The law of the new nature. I'll put my laws in their heart. A law of nature is that which must be obeyed. We obey our nature, don't we? Everybody does. You think of the law of gravity. Now, our Lord demonstrated how he was above that law of gravity when he walked on the water. It's his law, and he can stay above it if he wants, but me and you, we don't have any choice but to obey the law of gravity. Now, if you fall off a skyscraper, you can't say, I'm going to choose to make the law of gravity not in effect right now. No, you can't do that, can you? You're going to obey that law. You're going to come down. You have no choice. It's the nature of a cat to want to be clean, isn't it? You throw a cat in a mud puddle, it's going to be miserable. It's going to clean itself. It's their nature. It's the nature of a pig to wallow in the mire, isn't it? I mean, that's what they like. It's their nature. It's what they enjoy. It's what comes natural to them. A tiger, it's its nature to eat meat. It's the nature of a cow to eat grass. And they're not going to disobey their nature. He doesn't choose to eat meat. He does so because it's his nature. That's what he wants to do. A cow doesn't choose to eat grass. That's its nature. And you obey the laws of nature. And once again, there's something significant with the fact that the word laws is in the plural. Now, sometimes in the New Testament, the law means the Mosaic law or the Pentateuch, but here the word refers to the laws of the new nature. Now, we have certain laws in our nature that we must obey. And we find six laws in the Scripture. The laws of the new nature. We read of the law of righteousness. We read of the law of sin. We read of the law of faith. We read of the law of love. We read of the law of liberty. And we read of the law of Christ. And this is the spiritual DNA, if you will, of the new nature. These are the laws of the spiritual nature that a believer must obey. He doesn't choose to obey these. He obeys these because he has no choice. This is his nature. You know, God does not choose to be righteous. God is righteous. That's his nature. And if he chose that, the implication would be that he could be something else. And that's not at all the case. Now, the first law mentioned in the Scripture that we're going to talk about is the law of righteousness. Romans chapter 9, verses 30 and 31, the law of righteousness. You can look these up. I've got six to give you, so you can look this up on your own. But a believer cannot be satisfied with anything short of perfect righteousness. Your conscience can't be appeased by anything short of perfect righteousness, a righteousness which the holy law of God looks upon and says, there's no fault, there's no blemish. He is perfect, he's without guilt, he is righteous before me. Now, this is what the Bible calls the great truth of justification. This is the only thing a believer can be satisfied with. If I am actually righteous before God, without guilt, without sin. It's not enough for me simply to be forgiven. It's not enough for my sin to be covered where it can come back out. I have to be perfectly righteous. We were talking with Dave Edmondson when I was there this weekend. And we were talking about this thing of justification. When we talk about justification, justification is not, now listen to me real carefully. Justification is not just as if I never sinned. Because if it's just as if I never sinned, that means I did sin. Justification is, I never sinned. Now that's what justification is. And that's the only thing that will satisfy your conscience. That's the only thing that you'll find any peace and rest in if you're a believer, is if you are justified before God. And the only way I can be justified is for my sins, which are most real, most heinous, most evil. My sin, which is most real, actually is lifted off of me. So I bear it no more and place on the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he bear my sin. My sin becomes his sin. So that he says, my sin. Talking about my sin. He says, my sin as a heavy burden is too heavy for me. My iniquities are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. That's what the Lord said. You can read it in Psalm 40. Same passage where he said, I delight to do thy will, O God. And the volume of the book, it's written of me. It was a psalm of Christ. And he talked about the sins of his elect as his sin. He became guilty of that sin. God punished him, and he died. God is just. God is righteous. He will not let sin go unpunished. But just as truly, just as genuinely as my sin actually became his sin, his perfect righteousness is mine. So that I am righteous without guilt before God. Now, that's the only thing I'm finding satisfaction in. The new nature cannot find satisfaction in anything but perfect righteousness, the law of righteousness. Romans 7:23, the next thing that I want to talk about is the law of sin. Romans chapter 7. Paul says in verse 23, but I see another law in my members, in my body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. The law of sin, which is in my members. Now, a believer has two separate, distinct natures. A holy nature, given in the new birth, partakers of the divine nature. But he also has an evil nature, a sinful nature that Paul called the law of sin. Now, it takes two natures to see that they're two natures. It really is that simple. Somebody says, I just can't see where a believer has two natures. Well, that's because you've only got one. If you had two, you'd know exactly what I'm saying. I know you would. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And at no time can I say in my experience that I'm without sin. At no time. Look in, this is Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says in Romans 7, verse 14, he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin, literally a slave to sin. For that which I do, I allow not. What I would never sin again. I would never sin again. That's what I would. What I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Now, someone would say, well, Paul must not be saved. What's wrong with him? Why is he talking this way? Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. God's law is good. Now then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it's no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me, I find then a law. That when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I love God's holy law, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with my mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now, hear me. I feel sinful all the time because I am sinful all the time. I always have this old nature. Now, I realize, I hate that it's like this, but I realize some use this doctrine to excuse or even justify sin. Well, I can't help it. I've got an evil nature. That's evil. To use your wicked nature as an excuse for your wickedness and to go on in it, that is wrong. But just because some people abuse this doctrine, it's still true. As David said, my sin is ever before me. And the scripture says in Proverbs 24:16, a just man falleth seven times, but riseth. But the wicked fall into mischief. Now, what is the significance of that seven times? A just man falleth seven times. That means all the time. All the time. There's no time when I can say, I do not sin. 1 John chapter 1. You're familiar with this, but let's look at it. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 8. If we say we have no sin, and there it's a noun, we always have this sinful nature, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We've lost all credibility. Verse 10, if we say we've not sinned, they're the words of verb, with regard to anything we do. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we confess our sins, verse 9, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, there's a law in a believer, and this is the new nature. Now, the new man owns the sins of the old man. I don't understand how that is, but it's the new man who confesses the sin. It's the new man who desires deliverance from the sin. But at all times, there's a law of sin that's always there. And somebody says, why do you talk about sin so much? Well, I don't understand why you'd ask a question like that if you have a new nature. That's a new nature hates the sins of the old nature. It's always there. David said, my sin is ever before me. The law of sin. But while you're there in Romans, turn to Romans chapter 3. Verse 27. You know, it's this law of sin that makes you rejoice in the law of righteousness. When you really believe that in and of yourself you're nothing but sin, aren't you happy to be saved by the righteousness of Christ? Oh, you can't be satisfied with anything but his righteousness. That's what the law of sin is, a blessing in that sense. It drives us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It keeps us looking to him. The Lord makes it for me. The Lord makes it so I don't have anywhere else to look but Christ. And I'm thankful for that. Romans 3:27, where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Now this is the nature of the believer. The law of faith, this is a nature that he must obey. He must believe. Now, somebody may be thinking about the fact that I'm saying these things are natures, that you don't choose to do them, you do them because it's your nature. And you think, well where's their moral virtue in that then? Where's their goodness in it? I mean, if you're just obeying your nature, do you know that's the same line of reasoning that Satan used with Eve in the garden? Same line of reasoning. You're just obeying your nature and obeying God. There's no moral virtue to it. But if you eat of this fruit, you'll know the difference between good and evil, and you'll choose the good over the evil, and that's what'll make it good. You see, that kind of, I want to be controlled by this nature that I'm speaking of. I want to be utterly dominated by this nature to where it's my nature. It's the nature of a believer to believe. The new nature cannot not believe. Now I realize we're always saying, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, but try to not believe the Bible is the Word of God. Try it. You know it is. You know it's the holy Word of God. You see, we believe and then we know. It's in believing we know. We don't know then believe. We believe, then we know. Try to not believe in Christ's ability to save you. You think that he's not able to save you? You know he is. You know with the leper, you got the same thing going on the leper did. Lord, if you will, you can. Sometimes we wonder about his willingness, but we never wonder about his ability. He is the mighty Son of God, and he is able. We believe. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. We cannot not believe in his ability. When Romans 4:5 says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, we got to believe that. We got to believe. I've said this many times. I did not choose to believe. I found myself believing. For many years, I tried to believe. I did it. I wanted to believe. I tried to believe. Couldn't figure out what it meant. Tried to, but couldn't figure out what it meant. And then one day I found myself believing the gospel. It became my nature to believe the gospel. The law of faith. What do believers do? They believe. They rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The law of faith. And then in James chapter 2, verse 8, here's a law of the new nature. We read of the royal law of love. The royal law of love. Now, turn with me to, you've already looked at James 2, 8, to the royal law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now you see what that says? Everybody, without any exceptions. Now this is not talking about the love of a parent to a child. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? What would this world be without the love of a parent to a child? But that's not the kind of love it's talking about. Not talking about the love between a man and woman. This is talking about that love that is the fruit of God, the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And it's the nature of a believer to love God. I love Him. I love His Son. I love His Spirit. I love every attribute of God. I love His holiness. I love His justice. I love His sovereignty. I love His power. I love His wisdom. Any attribute of God, I love the fact that He doesn't change. All of His glorious attributes, we love. I love His Word. I love this book. I love His Word. I love His gospel. I love the way He saves. I love worship. I love to hear the gospel preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. I love God. I love everything about it. I really do. I mean, I honestly, Lord knows whether I'm telling the truth. If I could change anything about Him, I wouldn't do it because He's altogether perfect. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love His person. I love His work. I love His salvation. I love God. I love holiness. I love purity. I love His law. Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I love the Ten Commandments. I don't have anything to fear because I stand perfect before them. I'm righteous before God's holy law. I love His commandments. I love His people. Do you know anyone that loves the Lord Jesus Christ? I love that person. I do. I'm their biggest fan in that sense. You love Christ, that makes me love you because He's altogether lovely. You know, if somebody loves Aubrey, you know, I automatically like him. You know, somebody loves the Lord Jesus Christ, you love that person. I love men, not just believers. I love men. I want men to come to a saving understanding and bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want men to hear and believe the gospel. I love men. And the only thing that proves that is whether I tell them the truth. But I love my enemies. I love my enemies. The Lord said, love your enemies. Be like your heavenly Father. We love. It's the nature of a believer to love. Only a believer loves in this sense. This is that love which is the fruit of God, the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, the next law we read of is found in James 1:25 and James 2:12. It's called the law of liberty. The law of liberty, the law of freedom. Freedom. James 1:25 and 2:12, the law of liberty, freedom. Now, two things that I know about freedom. Number one, freedom is to owe nothing. If I owe anything, I'm not free. Freedom is to be completely debt-free. I owe nothing. That is why I love the suretyship of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love it, that picture of it there in Genesis chapter 43, verse 9, when Judah said regarding Benjamin, I'll be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. Anything he owes, you look to me for. If I bring him not back to thee, let me bear the blame forever. Now, what was Benjamin responsible for? Nothing. He was free. Judah took all of his responsibilities. And the Lord Jesus Christ is my surety, said, everything you look for out of Todd, you look to me for. Now that's freedom. Freedom. I owe nothing because I know my Lord pays all. And freedom is doing what you want to do. Somebody said, if I believed what you believed, I'd sin all I want to. I'll assure you, I sin a whole lot more than I want to. The greatest freedom that I have is being a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest freedom I have is being in Him. And oh, for grace to simply obey Him. That is the greatest of all freedom. Freedom isn't freedom to sin. No. The law of liberty. I must not owe anything. If you tell me that I owe anything or there's something I need to do to make it better for myself, I can't handle it. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again in that yoke of bondage. The law of liberty. Getting to do what you want to do. Thy people should be willing. They'll be volunteers in the day of your power. Now the last one is found in Galatians chapter 6. Paul appeals to the brethren. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren. Only brethren really understand this. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, can't you understand how easily any man can be overtaken in a fault? Don't you know how easily you can be overtaken in a fault? It's a sad, sad thing, isn't it? You know, every man is so weak. Everybody. You take Solomon. I suppose Solomon was the most wise man to ever live. And yet look at his death. Look how he started worshiping idols and so on, and his heart was turned by the women, and you can read about it in 1 Kings, I think chapter 7. I can't remember what chapter it is, but it's just men are, if a man be overtaken in a fault, everybody in here, very easily, you can be overtaken in a fault. Know that. Now he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, you're a partaker of the divine nature. You have a spiritual nature. You've been born of God. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Only believers are spiritual. You know, that's kind of a vogue term in our day. Well, I'm spiritual. I may not be a Christian or I may not practice it, but I'm a spiritual person. No, only someone who has God the Holy Spirit. Only someone who's born of the Spirit is spiritual. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. And the idea is of mending. And it's a process. It's a process of restoration. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What'll happen to you if you're tempted? You'll fall. Have you ever been tempted and just, I'm not giving in? Did you? That's why we pray, lead us not into temptation. Because I realize that if I'm tempted, I'll fall. So I ask the Lord, Lord, don't let me even be tempted. Put a hedge around me. Build a wall around me. Cause me simply to obey the new nature. I don't want to be tempted. Lord, the Lord taught us to pray that every day. Do you see how important this is? Lead us not into temptation. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. Now, does that mean tell everybody about all your problems so you can bear it with me? If you want to do that, I suppose you can, but that's not really what that means. What is your burden? My burden is my sin. Your burden is your sin. And what do? We bear with one another. We cover each other's faults. We love one another anyway. That's what we do. Love, the scripture says, beareth all things. It covers with silence all things. Peter said, have fervent love among yourselves. And that word fervent, I think this is very interesting. He said, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. And the word fervent there means stretched out. It's going to take some stretching. Stretching. Have fervent love among yourselves. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now there's his law. There's his law. That's called the law of Christ. These others, the law of righteousness, the law of sin, the law of faith, the law of love, the law of liberty, and the law of Christ. The one he puts his name after is where he says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something, I love this scripture. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Now these are the laws of the new nature. Remember, God said, I'll put my laws in their mind, plural, and I'll write them in their hearts. The law of righteousness can't be satisfied with anything but the righteousness of Christ. The law of sin, at no time can I see myself as free from sin. The law of faith, I must believe. The law of love, I must love. I must love him, I must love you. The law of liberty and the law of Christ. These are the laws of the new nature. If you have the new nature, you will be this way. Let's pray.